This couple, I'm going to talk about them for a few minutes because some of you have met them. Maybe half of you haven't, maybe. I don't know. And I, Susan, Brian, there's some of you back then, oldsters, over 30 years old people. We first met them in the summer of 2001. So we've walked together for 16 years. That's the longest I've walked with anybody except for Tom and Renee Lunger. And then there's a couple leaders in here, a few of you have walked longer here, but outside of here. And I tell you what, they are blessed to put up with me for 16 years. They have a special character if they can do that. And we've done everything together. I've been with him when he's ministered in Spain, in Segovia, in London, to Bulgarians in London. We've been to Kenya twice, and the first trip was just, we didn't know what we were getting into, did we? We were in this one little concrete room where we slept in this pastor's house. There's an outhouse that you could see into. The water was outside, and there was two single beds, but my shoulders went from side to side. I'm a little taller than him, but we're the same width. And there's like this much between the beds. So I'm like, all right, you get close in those situations, you know what I'm saying? And it was great, though. They had this little minivan that we went around in. Turn that on. Little minivan. But have you ever seen these little tiny vans? They don't make them in America. You see them overseas. It's like a Volkswagen bus sort of shrunk. And we had 19 in one of them at one time. And now, you know, we take up the space of four Kenyans right here, okay? You know, because we're just bigger, taller, wider, and everything. So it's just been fun. He's been here many times, and I've been to his church many times. And so they're just precious friends. They're not just, they're friends in the ministry as we walk together. And so they're very precious to us. And so luckily we got them here for the weekend. And then they're going to go to Baltimore and see some friends. And so, but before he speaks, I'm going to ask him a question. Because this is a hard thing for young. I met him before they had their church. They were assistant pastors at a church in northern Bulgaria. And that's
where we met.
And that's where we met. It was a divine appointment. And through that period, they eventually went to a church and became senior leaders at a church in southern Bulgaria. Now, the reason I bring this is I'm setting them up for a question that I see very few, whatever you want to call it, assistant pastors, assistant teachers, seconds, not a senior leader, people in training that know they're supposed to be a senior leader. I trained for 8 years under two other pastors before I came here and started a church. And I bring it up because I think it's important in this transition. Many people never get to where they're supposed to go because they jump out early.
Amen.
And they feel the movement and they want to move. Mine was 6 years training and then 2 years wanting to do something. And we're to never move in that period. It's just the way it is. I've seen this over and over again, and I see people. The best thing to do is like what David did. He was pronounced king. He had been anointed as king. If I remember correctly, it was like 15 plus years before he became king. That transition period there. I knew at 18 I would be a senior leader. It was not until I was 34. Very few ministers pass this David period. And so they did. I saw them walk through that. It was just awesome. So I just speak to that, however you want to speak to that, how you got through it. Because theirs was 13 years.
Yeah.
Whoever wants to talk, yeah. Because it's an important lesson. It doesn't have to be a senior leader. It can be a job promotion. It can be whatever, marriage, whatever.
You mentioned in your question the answer. The answer was God's
Sorry.
Time. Yeah. God's time. We already believe for, always we believe for God's time, waiting for that time. It's not easy to wait for something that you need to be fulfilled one day. And a few times we were just on the edge to jump and to do something, but we know it. We don't have 100% confidence in the Spirit. And even that we have invitation to go and start something in another cities, we know it, that God's time is not yet. And one prophet came to us and just he prophesied over us, and he said, the devil will try to put you on the stage before the time. And it was like a confirmation to our spirit. So this happened in the year of 2000, 2001, and then when 2003 came and we were with you in Kenya in 2002, actually 2003, the beginning, February, in February 2003. And for 14 days we were together, and every day Craig asked me, what you going to do now when you go back home? He asked me every day this question.
See, I was feeling the movement.
Yeah.
But I'd, yeah.
And I say, well, I know God is in control. We're going to do again the same things and et cetera, et cetera. And we just believe he will open a door. And the last day, just before we left Kenya, I have a message from Tanya. She sent me a text, and she said, we need to talk. We have invitation from City of Stara Zagora to go there and take the church and pastoring that church. And immediately when she sent that text and I talked with her, the whole night I was praying. And then in the morning when Greg was wake up, and I told him the story, and we have this conversation. And deeply in my heart and Tanya's heart, we believe it's a new page for us, new open door for us. And from that moment, we just moved to Stara Zagora. And the answer of your question is God's time, and just be faithful what you're doing now. When you are faithful, there is a reward for all the faithful people.
Bubo was sharing last night that many times this transition period, the longer it is, the greater the promotion at the end, but the greater the test. And like theirs was 13 years. And then they took this church in Stara Zagora of a little over 100 people, nice building. Now it's many times bigger. And the Lord, for 5 years, gave them a platform on Bulgarian national TV, and just published a book in Bulgarian. And he's part of he's got 13, 14 churches that associated
eight,
with you?
Eight
churches that associated with them. And so you can see that just promotion, but there's battle before then. And so they're just a great example of this. And I don't want to take up your sermon. You take as long as you want.
I just want to mention something.
Sorry. I didn't see the pass.
The years before we moved to Stara Zagora, we were so happy being assistant, because the church was very national, involved. It was an influential church, doing praise and worship conferences, pastors' conferences, and we feel so comfortable there. We have everything we need, you know, like in a ministry and family. But I think what you need to know is something different. The hard part, it's not easy to obey all the time. And when you are not agree, you still have to obey. And we have this in our mind, because the situation in Lovech is a little complicated, because he started the church, but then Pastor George was the senior leader, because he was just born again, very young, and he can't do the ministry. And sometimes he feel like, oh, I start this church and I have opinion, you know. But we feel some moments when we are not agree, and we have to agree, because we will please God this way. And it's not easy. Your flesh, you know, on the inside you feel broken, and yeah, there is a fight, but you know it's right to do this way. And after we moved to Stara Zagora, we keep our relationships with our pastors until today. We love them very much, and they really love us. And God bless us with faithful people in our staff. And when you're faithful, God will give you faithful people in your life. And it's not easy. It's not easy to be faithful, but you have to. And you have to win this battle on the inside. And I hope to be faithful to the end, to the Lord.
Amen.
All right.
Thanks, Greg. Thank you. I just say to Craig, what you sow now, that's what you're gonna reap later. So, if we sow honestly, truth, faith, that we're gonna reap deeply, much more, in our heart later. Susan, just to tell you that this week when we came here in London, I called my mom and. She was in stress because my father has an attack. He also has a surgery last year from colon cancer. And she didn't know what to do, and she cried on the phone, and we just encouraged her because I'm far away in London, and she was in Bulgaria. And we just pray with Tanya, and the Lord give us a verse. This verse is for that I sent to her and to my father, but also I feel we need to give this verse to you. It's Exodus chapter 14, verse 14. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. That's more important thing in one battle, to hold our peace, because Lord is fighting for us. And Lord is always a winner, so we stay in His sight. So the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Just be encouraged, hold your peace, and the battle is the Lord. And I encouraged my father as well and my mom, and I told him we are far away from distance. We don't know what to do, but just keep your peace. God is God. He's in control. He is on the throne. He paid the whole price. Okay. The message that I want to share with you today is from 2 Kings chapter 4. That the part, the message. I call this message, Make Room for God. We already did this morning with our worship and attitude here in this place. We make room for Holy Spirit to manifest in our service. But I would like to see this story here. And before to go there, just to make my introduction. Every person is responsible to open his heart and to make room for God in his life. We need to make room for God in our life, in our families, in our business, in our community, like church or like a family in the home area. But also, we need to make room in our life for God every day, not just on Sunday. In the country that I live, people think about God only on holidays, Easter or Christmas. They think about God that during season, and other time they even not think about going to worship Him or going to a church. And it's so important for us to make room in our life for God so He can be a part of our life, not just Sunday morning, but every day. And that's a big challenge now in this generation. Because this generation wants everything but not God. They want all the entertainments, all the technology, all the modern stuff. But through all this stuff that we have, this stuff are good, there need to be benefit. But also we know that God is number one and we need to have Him in our life more than anything else. The story that we'll share is about Elisha. And we know that he was a very successful prophet. He was ordained by Elijah. Elijah was a great prophet as well, but Elisha has a double anointing. And he made double miracles than Elijah. And Elisha was a man after God's heart as well. And let us read the story in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to verse 17. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she pursued him to eat some food. So it was often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall. And let us put a bed for him there, and table and chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And it happened in one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerning for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?'" She answered, "I dwell among my own people." So he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Actually, she has no son, and her husband is old." So he said, "Call her." When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time has come, of which Elisha had told her. Amen. What a great story. Now we are in the season of Christmas. And before to go to the story, let's just think a little bit about Mary and Joseph. Mary, she has a visitation from the angel. An angel came to her and say, "You're going to have a son. You'll be born son." And she say, "How? I don't know a man. I'm even not married. How this will happen?" She has so many questions in her head. But she decided to believe the word that the angel has spoke to her. It's very important to us to receive the word from God, that God is speaking to us. And after that, she say, "Here, God's servant, do what is good for you to do. I'm open." She make room for that word, so the Holy Spirit dwell in her. She believed that this can be done. And after, when she believed that, she went to her cousin, because the angel told to her, "Go to Elizabeth. She is already pregnant." She went to somebody who is deeper and who is bigger in the faith. And she went there to stay and to encourage herself. It's very important for us with who we connected it and how we connected, who we listen to. Because that time, to be pregnant from Holy Spirit, even until now, it's a miracle. But because she make room for God, she didn't refuse the word of God. She believed that this is God, this is word from the Lord. She went to Elizabeth. She was so encouraged to see her older cousin already pregnant. Then she stayed with her. That time the Bible says that Joseph has thoughts in his mind to leave her fiance, because he don't like, because the Bible says that he was a righteous man. And he don't like to embarrass her, and he don't like to do anything wrong to her, but he just decided to leave her. But the angel, same angel who spoke to Mary, he came to him and he say, "Don't worry to take Mary to be your wife, because she's pregnant, but she's not pregnant from another man. She's pregnant from the Holy Spirit. And the boy that will be born shall be son of God. And his name will be Jesus." Actually, the angel told the name of Jesus not to Mary, but to Joseph. In Matthew, that's what we saw. So Joseph was also prepared. His heart was prepared from the Holy Spirit. And when he heard the message from the angel, he also make room for God. And he believed that this is true. In that time, to believe stuff like that, you need to be confident that this is God. And God really spoke to you. So they both have an agreement. And they left. We know the Bible that say that they went to Bethlehem. And when went to Bethlehem, when Jesus was born, they knock on different doors. Can we imagine for a moment when they knock to the in-house to looking for a place, and the keeper of that house say there is no place here. There, the inn is so full and occupied, and we don't have any bed. And when he saw that pregnant woman, he was thinking, oh, my business will collapse, and this kid, well, he'll be born, etc., etc. He doesn't open his house or his hotel or whatever inn for them. So there is a people who open themselves for God, but also there is a people who don't open themselves for God. It's still, even today, we can find so many different people around. Sometimes two people can sit together. One can be open for God, other can be completely locked because his heart is locked. So we need to have a really open heart in our attitude for the presence of God to manifest. And back to my story. Elisha was a successful prophet. He went very often to that city. This lady, she found that he going there very often, and she invited him in his house to have a meal, in her house to have a meal. And every time when he went there to that city, the city of Shunem, she just invited him, come for a meal, come for a meal. Later, she went to her husband. She was a lady under authority. That's what the Bible says. She went to her husband and she said, listen, let's make a room for this man. This is a godly man. Let's just make a room for him. The Bible says that she was a noble woman, rich woman. She was a very well-knowing woman. She has the all benefit on her time. Everything. But they just decided, let's make a room. One more room. It will cost something to us, but we want this man, when he came, he can stay there and he can rest and etc., etc. And they have a disagreement. Both of them, they're living that time on the wall. On the wall live only the rich people. When you study the Bible, you should see that most knowing people and everything that has a taking like a decision in the Bible time, in every city, was taking on the wall. The doors was there, all the leaders was there on the doors, the big houses was on the wall. So they live in a very good area, and they decide to make a room on the wall just for that prophet. When they make this room, they prepare themselves, we want to keep this man. When he came, we want to keep him in our house as much as possible. Because we realize he's a godly man. And we want his blessings to come upon us. That's how they prepare themselves. When the two disciples walked with Jesus after his resurrection to the city of Emmaus, he explained to them all the scriptures from Moses. And their heart was burning, but they didn't recognize him because they didn't know that he's resurrected. They just heard about it. But their hearts was so worried about what's happened. And during the walking, they ask him and say, come and stay with us, have a meal with us. And the Bible says that they were so pushing him to stay. And say, please come and stay with us, have a meal. And when Jesus went to their home, when he opened the bread, and when he broke the bread, then the Bible says his eyes was open. So they recognized that he is Christ, the Messiah. But their decision was very important. They took the Lord. They follow him. They chase him. They don't like him to leave, but they decided to keep him as much as possible. And when we are hungry for God's presence, when we are hungry for the Holy Spirit to manifest in our life, we keep the Lord in our room. We make place for him, like this woman. Even that she was a noble woman, even that she was a very well-known woman, and there is a good family, they have everything, they decide that God's presence is more important than anything else. So the Bible teaches us in Matthew 6:33, put first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything shall be added to you. Yes. Amen? Yes. It's not only on Sunday morning, it's not only on the holy day, it's every day in our life, 24/7. Yes, sir. Yes. Put the kingdom of God first. And this lady and her husband, they decide to make that room, to make presents. Craig mentioned earlier about David. We know about David. We read from the Bible that David has a heart after God. And how we know that? Because he put the Ark of the Covenant in the special tent. When he became a king, the first thing what he decided in the very beginning, before to put anything in order in the nation, he was concerning about the Ark of the Covenant. Where is the Ark of the Covenant? And he realized that 20 years this Ark of the Covenant was in the Philistine land. Saul never take any minute or pay attention to go to bring the Ark of the Covenant. Saul was the previous king. He has the authority, he has the power, he has the whole resources and money, but he never pay attention to go and bring the Ark of the Covenant. David was just a young king, but he realized that he cannot rule the kingdom without the presence of God. So we cannot run the churches without the presence of God. Presence of God is more important than anything else. Other way will be just a religion club, like so many religions clubs today. So the second thing that they put in the first thing they make a room, the second they make a bed in that room. A bed. Bed is a subject of rest and restoration and recovery. This is a place for dreams. When you lay down, you dream. You just rest. Many times the Lord spoke to me on my bed when I just wake up and just thinking about the day or thinking about the ministry or thinking about the family and pray, and the Holy Spirit came and just put some thoughts and some dreams in me. And we need to just realize that we need to lay down on our beds with that expectation and to recover ourselves and to restore ourselves so our battery can be recharged. Because we just arrived the other day. Last night when we went to the bed, I was just gone, like in 2 minutes. My battery needs to be recharged after all this jet lag and time zone difference. But same in spiritual way. We need to think and we need to dream and we need to put again the vision. And later we shall see the picture of that. In Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5, delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desire of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also Him, and He shall bring it to pass. What a promise. Desire yourself in the Lord. God put a godly desire in our heart when we trust Him. And these desires are desires of hope and future, something good for the kingdom of God. I didn't talk about the desires of the flesh or desires of this world. I'm talking about the desires of the Holy Spirit in us. Because God is already work through us and with us. We are a corporate body. The third thing was the table. Table is a place of fellowship and sharing. Everything during in the Bible time, everything has been decided around the table. The communion, which is the Lord's Supper, we think like it's like today, somebody go and take a piece of bread and eat and that's it. No, in the Bible time, one communion, one Passover was take like 4 to 6 hours to sit down and think, and they will eat together and they share a meal and they drink a wine and then they have some games and they share another meal and they share another cup of wine. There is 4 different cups of wine during the Passover. And all these things happening around the table. So many decisions was happening around the table. So the table represents the communication. It represents the fellowship and sharing. When you eat with somebody, when you share a meat with somebody or meal, when you share something, that means that you spent your time, you spent your resources, you're able to talk with that person. Because we're living in a fast world today, everything is fast. Fast food, fast driving, fast internet, everything needs to be fast. But we need to realize that if something gonna happen in God's kingdom, it's not happen faster like we think today in this culture. It's happened slowly. It's happened among the fellowship and friendship, and it's happened with open heart. Craig mentioned that we are friends for 16 years, and every time when we met each other, we sharp each other. And I want to thank him for all investments that right now, I forget to tell him in the beginning, but for all investments that he made it in me and in my wife and in our ministry through all these 16 years, spiritually, emotionally, encouraging him financially. You are a big blessing to us, Craig. Thank you so much for all these years. And we share lots of meals together, lots of food together in different places. And I just enjoy the time. But in the Bible time, all the big decisions was happening around the table. Even the priests, they need to eat when they went to the tabernacle. They are commanded to eat there the bread that was put in there in the tabernacle. So it's so important with you who connected it, how you connected with who you eat your meal. Because this is something that the Lord has given you opportunity to sit down with somebody. And don't just hesitate. Don't take it lightly. Just think with who I am connected, with who I am sitting, with who I am on this journey. How I can be related more to that, how I can be more good communicator, what is my fellowship with these people, etc., etc. The fourth thing in that room, or the third thing in that room, was the chair. Chair means sit down, stop by this hurry around, realize who are you in Christ. You are in relationship with the Lord, not because of what you're doing, but because who you are and because God has chosen you. There is a difference between position and condition. Your condition now is not who you are. Your position is who you are. Condition can be changed, but position is how God put you in the kingdom of God. He put us in a position to be His sons, to be His righteous, to be His bride. He put us in the position, born again, chosen generation, holy people. That's our position. That's from where we need to speak to the Lord, not from our condition. Our condition can be changed. Maybe you are through the circumstances, to situation of testing, of a hard period, or out of job, or out of finances that you needed for the next bill. That's just your condition. But your position, you are son and daughter of Christ. Hallelujah. That's so important. Amen. Amen. And when you speak from your position, that's very, very different. There is the 140 verses in the Bible, in the New Testament, who you are in Christ, where you are has put into seat in the Lord. Who we are in Christ is very, very important. And the fifth thing is the candlestick. The candlestick represents the light. When Elisha came, he has a bed, he has a table to eat with the people that he travel with them, with him. He also has a chair to sit, and also he has a candlestick, which means light to come to him to read or to write or whatever. The light represents the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in our life. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I really like this verse. The Word of God is a light to our feet. Psalm 119 says that when we listen to the Word and when we follow the Word of God, there is light always coming to our feet. Apostle Paul prayed for the church in Ephesians 1:18. He prayed that the lights of their understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. This same verse in Amplified Bible, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know and understand. When the light came, you know and you understand. How many of you have a professional cameras or like to take pictures? Now we have a phone, cell phone, so every cell phone make a good picture. But those who has a professional cameras, they know it. If you can have a best camera in the world, it can be a very expensive camera. You can have the all last equipments that on the market are selling today. If the light is not going in through the lens, through the objective, if the light is not going in, you cannot have a picture. You can have the best camera. You can spend all your money, but the light need to go inside. It's same with the spirit. You can go to a different churches. You can going through a different places, different conferences. But if the light of the Lord doesn't go through inside in your heart, you cannot have revelation of God. There is so much information, but less in revelation today. So light need to come inside. And the light is those who change us and who really give us understanding what God is. So after all these things that these people prepare for Elisha, he said to his servant, let's do something for this lady. Let's give her a reward. Because the Bible says that if we follow God by faith, Hebrews 11:6, if we follow God by faith, He always rewards those people who follow Him. I just interpret the verse, but that's what Hebrews 11:6. Let me read it. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is reward of those who delightfully seek Him. So Elisha say, let's do something for her. And they asked her to come. So she came and she stood on the door, and they said to her, do you want me to talk for you before the king of the commander of the army? And she said, no, I'm feeling very well among my people. Elisha know the king. He said that he can talk with the king. He know that time his influence was in this nation, and he know who is the king. He has a good relationship with him, and he know who is the commander of the army. And he say, if you want, I can do something for you. They can make something for your house, or they can do something for your husband, whatever, just let me know. And she say, no, I'm fine, I'm just living among my people. I feel better here in my place. Then she left. And Elisha's servant said to him, Master, she doesn't have a son. She doesn't have any child. They really want a child. But her husband is old. And Elisha was laying down on that dream bed. And he said, let her come. Let her come. And she came again. And he said to her, next year, among this time, you're going to have a son in your arms. And she said, don't lie to me, my master. And he said, no, next year, among this time. And they left. And the word came to pass. She has a son next year. That boy was born, and that boy would grow. And he became a teenager. And one day, I just will continue the story with it's to the end of the page. One day, the boy was with his father. And the father took the boy to help him on the field. In the morning, the boy has a strike in his brain, in his head. And he sent back the boy to the servant to the house and say, bring it to his mom. And the Bible says that until noon, the boy died. And listen what the lady do. She took the body and she put that boy on Elisha's room on the same bed. When the promise came, when the hope came, when the faith came, put it in that bed. She locked the door and she say on the night to her husband, I need to go to the God man tomorrow. Just send me somebody with me and make the horse and donkeys ready so I can go. And he said to her, why? It's not Saturday. It's not the beginning of the month. And she said, don't worry. I just need to go there. And she went the next day. And she traveled. And Elisha saw her from distance and he sent her servant and said, okay, there is the Shunammite woman. Go and bring her. I don't know why she's coming for. And when she went, she was jumping the feet of Elisha and she said, I told you to not lie to me. The child is dead. And he sent Gehazi, his servant, he sent him and said, go and put my stick over the baby, over the boy. But she stayed and say to him, I will not move until when you not come with me. So he was prepared and he went with her. And the Bible says that when he went there, he saw the dead body on his bed. And he lay down on the body, face to face, eye to eye, nose to nose, hands to hands. And when he went over the body, nothing happened. He just jumped and walked around in the room and pray and intercede again and again because he was confident this was born by the Spirit. He was confident that this was the Word of God. And when God gives something, it's never die. It's life forever. So he walked in the room and he jumped again. And he lay down again on the, over the body. And then he realized that this body became warm. And the body started to move. And he just take up and he say, take your son. It's back to you. It's life now. Which means that's your reward. When God rewards you with something, it's never die. And this woman, she was completely shocked, like every one of us, because she got her miracle in the second time now. And sometimes we think that, oh, the Lord has spoken to me and never happened. Well, I have a message for you today, and I'm finished with that. Don't lose your hope. Don't lose your faith. Don't lose the light of the Holy Spirit inside of you. The God of hope shall give us peace and joy so our hope can be enriched more and more. Romans 13:16. That our hope shall be enriched more and more. Because same God who is in that time, He is same God today. Jesus Christ is same yesterday, today, and forever. So just make room for God and believe that there is a future and there is a hope for you, for your family, for this church. Even the bad things that happen, even the bad tongues that has been spoken, when God's starting something, He's starting with purpose. And He will continue. And He will lead us through all these circumstances so we can be victorious, not victims. Amen? Amen? Make room for God and God will dwell in that room and He will manifest His presence. Amen? So we can stand up. Stand, please, with me. I wish my English to be much, much better. Thank you. It's English with accent. It's not a Georgia accent. It's a... completely different accent. Father, I just thank you for all these wonderful people today in this room. And thank you, Lord, for the hunger and thirst in their heart that you put them. And thank you, Lord, for that you prepare their heart for them and to do something.